That's what Job said after he lost it all. He worshiped, it says. He says, and Job worshiped and said, blessed be the name of the Lord who he gives, he takes away. Yeah, that's good tonight. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead. Let's pray together, then we'll read your scripture, all right? You're good. You're good. Everybody ready? All right. Father, we come tonight. Sure do thank you for your word. Thank you for an opportunity to preach. And Father, we can't do anything by ourselves. We fail. Lord, I fail. And Lord, I ask you to help me tonight. Lord, I pray that we can listen to the point that you change our minds and change our hearts. And Lord, help our church. Help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, again, search me out. I don't want nothing in my mind or my heart that's going to be contrary to thy will. And Lord, I pray tonight for power. I must have your power. I have no strength of my own. It's going to be yours tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That we might know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, the church of the living God. That we might know how to behave ourselves, what we're supposed to do as a church. Now, we've been preaching on the church for a good while on Sunday night, and we want to continue tonight. I want to give you maybe three major thoughts and let us see what we are and see what we need to do. And we give you the theme thought. You remember what it was? And we ain't done it for the last couple of weeks because of everything going on. But let's look at it. What kind of church? If everybody in it was just like me. Now let's say that again, and I want us to really think about that. We got some other things to add to it, if you would. What kind of church would this church be if everybody in it was just like me? Now, tonight I want you to say it like this. What kind of witness would this church be if everybody's witness was just like mine?
Everybody can have a different witness.
Yeah. Well, we all have a different witness, but what if about our witness? If everyone witnessed like me, what kind of witness? Huh? What kind of church will we have if everybody witnessed like we witnessed? What kind of church would this church be if everybody won someone just like me?
There's gotta be always somebody different. You gotta win different people.
Think about it. What kind of church would this church be if everyone prayed as long as me?
They would get some people get kind of tired.
Yeah. Questions, ain't they? What kind of church would this church be if everybody visited just like me? Now, all of us wants to be a part of a church that has a great witness, a great testimony. All of us wants to be a part of a church that sees people come to Christ on a regular basis. Wouldn't that be right? All of us would want to be a part of a church that we could say, well, our church is a praying church. Would that not be right? Yeah. But it'll never be more than what we are. It'll never be more. We can't depend on someone outside. It's got to be what we're willing to do. Now, again, what kind of church would this church be if everyone in it was just like me? Now, there's three stages in the church, and I want us to look at some scripture. Now, we're going to look in the book of Acts, mainly in the book of Acts tonight. And we see the early church and all the things that the early church did and all the power that the early church had and all the it wasn't programs that they had, but it was purpose. And tonight, we need to, maybe not reevaluate our purpose. We need to be recommissioned on our purpose. You know, all right? So to stage one about our church tonight. Now, let's go back. How we ought to behave ourselves. What we ought to do. Three stages in the life of the church. If you want a title tonight, that is three stages in the life of the church. First thing, what you think about is a ministering church. Do we want a ministering church? Well, to have a scriptural church, we need a ministering church. To minister. Did not Jesus himself say, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. And we have a great church when it comes to servants and what we do around here. But how far out do we go? Far as outreach would go. We need an outward focus. Now, it's good to have an inward focus to a point. All right, but we're going to find in Scripture that the outward focus is what's necessary. And that's what the purpose is. The outward focus. The preaching of the gospel. The making of disciples. You know, we need to make disciples, train disciples. Now, we've had several new converts here. Now, I'm going to encourage all those that's been saved to get with Brother Dennis. And even though you may be young, it won't hurt you to get with Brother Dennis and go through some new convert training. All right? I believe that will strengthen you and help you. And you don't have to be an adult to do that. But I believe if you're a new convert, you got saved at camp, I believe that would strengthen you. If you would go in that class and be taught some things, I believe you're old enough to learn this and to be trained, because what we don't want you to do is fall through the cracks. All right? And we've had too many that's fell through the cracks down through the years. So the ministering church, that's part of the ministry. Then outward focus, the preaching of the gospel, the making of disciples, the a praying, serving church, yes, but reaching the lost church. Reaching the lost. I told you here the other day, I don't have one more day. I got one less day. I'm not praying for God to give me another day. I already know I have one less day than I had. I believe it's somewhere down the line that I'll pass away. At the point a man wants to die. We know that. I'm looking to go into rapture. That's what I'm wanting to do, is go in the rapture. But I have one last day. What if this is my last day? What if this is your last day? Well, my purpose is to be winning people to Christ. That's the church's job. That's all of our job. That's us. We're the church. We're a body of a local congregation of the body of Christ. And our purpose is to win souls. I believe that with all my heart. Well, let's see what the Bible would say. All right? Let's look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Is everybody with me tonight? Acts chapter 4. And look at verse 31. Now this is speaking of the early church. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, what would be the purpose of speaking the word of God other than to be a witness? You know, that would be to win souls. That would be the purpose of that. Would that not be correct? All right, let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Let's look here in verse 42. Acts chapter 5. If you'll read verses 40 and 41, the disciples had been beaten and been persecuted because of preaching the gospel. But look here in verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now we're talking about the church. We're talking about a ministry church. Can I tell you, if our ministry does not go outside the walls of the church, then we don't have a ministering church. And we'll show you the difference here in a moment. The ministering church is going to have to go outside the walls of the church. It's going to have to go outside the membership of the church. Now, it's included. It's included. You understand?
The highway and the byway.
Yeah. Now, let's look again. All right. Acts chapter 6. Let's look at Acts chapter 13 first. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And let's start at verse 1. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." They sent him out. They didn't keep them in, but they sent them out. The ministry of the church cannot be kept in the confines of the building from where we meet. Now, we have a great work, and we do great things, and we have youth groups, and we have everything we go on. We got Sunday school classes, and we got for all ages, and we got the adult Sunday school class. We have preaching on Sunday morning, preaching on Sunday night. We have Bible study on Wednesday, and all that is great, and we got to continue that. But the ministry of the church needs to go further than just the walls of the church. It's going to have to reach the community. That's why here a couple weeks ago we went down there at the pavilion and sang and give the gospel. That's why we're going out at the potato festival, having a booth set up to get the gospel out, to give away things, to not sell, to raise money. We're not in for bake sales and pie suppers to buy, to raise money. That ain't how you raise money. You raise money with tithes and offerings. All right, so you give away that you might be able to present the gospel and give away the gospel. Because the ministry of the church, our ministry, us, has to go out from the confines of this building and reach the people. All right, we've got it backwards. We read in the Word of God that it says that we are to go. But we sit and wait for Him to come. That's backwards. We're told to go, but we wait for Him to come. There's no scripture for waiting for Him to come, but there is scripture for to go. But we wait for Him to come. Think about that. How backwards we've got everything. That we go forward, we're supposed to go. We got things to do. And we're on a short time. All right. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And let's start at verse 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." Now, there is ministry inside the church. There is ministry inside the church. There is people, and the church needs to be taken care of. And there are people that needs to take care of the people inside the church. Everybody follow me? But why? Why do they appoint people to take care of the people in the church that were neglected? So they can be more done outside the church. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Verse 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicar, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And look at verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith." Why? Because the confines of the church were still, the people in the church were still taken care of. But it was taken care of that they might be more word go out. And I want to challenge you tonight and encourage you tonight that to be a part and come together to the point that there's more goes out than what stays in. You understand? Now, we cannot neglect who's in the church. We can't neglect that. But it says here there's people to do that. So we got to organize to where we're taking care of everybody. But we cannot forget the main purpose of the church. The ministry of the church is not inside the church. The main ministry of the church is outside, winning people to Christ. Now, I've read the book of Acts through and through and through, and I can't see no other point that was made other than to spread the gospel with the church. Huh? Can you see that tonight? Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look here, it's verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now, if you read, you understand that Paul was persecuting the church here. Saul was before he was saved. And Stephen had been buried. Right? And Saul was making a havoc of the church. The church is persecuted. Then verse 4 says this: "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere," what? "Preaching the word." Preaching the word. Now, they were scattered. They was trouble not in the church. They was trouble because of their stand. They was trouble because of what they believed. But the main thing they had to make sure they did was to preach the word of God. There's nothing more important than sharing the gospel with somebody that needs saved. Nothing more important. And we got to make sure we stay in there with that, all right? Let's see, Acts chapter 28, maybe. Acts chapter 28. I think it's right. It might be Acts chapter 20. I can't read my own writing here. Acts chapter 20, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Now this is Paul and the Ephesian elders. And he says here, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. I have taught you publicly, not in the synagogue, not in the church, not in a group, but publicly, all right? And from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I understand that it is not our culture. I understand that it's not been our past practice. But if you noticed when we announced this morning about how many have been saved in Kenya and how the gospel has been being presented. All right. They didn't have church services. Now, I'm sure they had church services today in some of the churches. But what they've done every day since Bob got over there last Monday, what they've done every day is they went from house to house. They went publicly. They gathered up and had meetings publicly at stores, at markets, at any arena they could get. And they went out and got the people to come. And you say, "Well, they're over, they don't have anything." Well, what do you have to hear the gospel? They didn't offer them money. They didn't offer them food. They didn't have no meals. They offered them Jesus. And they preached. Now, the point I want to make tonight is this. We have been, I don't know what would be the word, we have been conditioned that we can't do that here. We have been conditioned that we can't spread the gospel like they do there. But yet, we've got all of our missionaries have open air meetings. All of the missionaries that we support that goes out, they have public meetings. They go from house to house. They organize meetings other than the church services for the purpose of winning souls. But we concentrate on the ministry inside the walls of the church. And instead of going, we wait for them to come. And I believe if we're going to have a ministering church, if we're going to have a ministering church, then we're going to have to carry the gospel outside the walls of this building to our community. If we truly, and I know we truly want to see our town saved. I know we want to truly see our people saved. I know that. But we're going to have to do more than wait upon them. We're going to have to go after them. All right? And I believe that's all scriptural. I don't believe we can look at it any different way. So, the ministering church has an outward focus. An outward focus. Preaching the gospel, making disciples, praying, serving, yes, but reaching the lost. We should be expectant. All right? I want you to think about that. We ought to expect. They ask, I don't know, it may have been Spurgeon or Moody. They sent some young preachers out, and they come in discouraged. And they told him, said, we're not seeing nobody saved. And the old preacher said, "Well, do you expect somebody to be saved every time you preach?" And they said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, that's why it ain't happening. You're not expecting nothing." Amen. We ought to expect. We ought to go out knowing that God will fulfill His promise. Yeah. That the Word of God is true. I believe the Word of God being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. I believe the Word of God will still bring forth fruit when it's presented. But we wait on it to be, for them to come to hear it. We got to go and give it. And they all may not want to hear it. And they may be some ridicule. That's one of the reasons the church is not persecuted. Because what we're doing is private. Are you listening to me? One of the reasons that the church today is not persecuted is because we're sharing the gospel privately. All through the book of Acts, they shared the gospel publicly. all through the epistles. They shared the gospel publicly. And because they shared it publicly, it didn't sit well with people. And they were persecuted then. And they were persecuted for preaching the gospel. But if you hide and present the gospel, that's why they're not going to come in and say, well, that's what they do down there. We're not going to mess with them. But when we take it out there to where they're at. Now, I'm not saying to do it to be persecuted. I'm telling you to do it because they need the gospel. Because all of them ain't going to come in here.
A lot of people want to change. If they don't change,
then we got to be expectant. We need to be spiritually alive. You understand? We ought to be happy about this thing.
Yeah.
We ought to be tickled about this thing. Yeah. We ought to be tickled that we're saved. Yeah. And we ought to be excited to share it.
Yeah.
You know. If we played the lottery, which we shouldn't, if we played the lottery and won it, we would tell people. Well, I don't know if we would or not. They'd want the money. But we tell people about exciting things of our life. You know, we kill a big buck, hunting season's coming on, we kill a big buck, we'll let it rot in the back of our truck to carry that big head and horns around, and it stinks and everything else that everybody can see what we've killed because we're so tickled about it. And we've got the best thing we've ever had with Christ in our heart.
Yes,
yeah. I think of Rick and Tim, they go up to the jail. All right. They go up to the jail, but I feel sure that if they stop and got gas, if they could, they'd tell somebody at the gas station. I bet they don't say, "Now I can't help you today. We're only going to the jail." You can't say that. And when we can't be content, I want to challenge you tonight to spread the gospel. I want to challenge you as a church to be a ministering church. Huh? That we're expecting about people coming to Christ. That we are spiritually alive of. That we're on the mission for Christ. And the question for the ministering church, now listen to me. The question for the ministering church should be, how can we reach more people for Christ? I've got visions for the church. I got visions to see people saved. I've got, now I'm not saying I had a vision. I got a vision. All right. There's a difference. All right. I've got a vision on how to reach people. All right. I've got thoughts on how we can reach people. But we've got to be a ministering church to do it. It's not what was one person. One person can do a little. All right. I think of Bob. Now, Bob's over in Kenya. And I would love to be there at Kenya where they're at right now. I would love to be a part of that. Now, Bob has got some guys from Mexico that's with him, in case you didn't know. And there's a large church down there. I forgot how many hundreds they're reaching every week. How many hundreds every week being saved down there at this Baptist church in Mexico. I mean, it's amazing. Well, Bob got with them somewhere in one of these mission conferences and told them, they said, "We want to go." So they got, I don't know how many, four of them, I think, and Bob, and they're down there preaching. And they're preaching constantly. They had people, they got off the plane, had people saved in the airport. They got out of the parking lot, had people saved in the parking lot. They called them up together, had them come together, "Come, we got something to tell you." And they preached to them. All right? They went to the store. And come and gather up. I got something to tell you. Huh? They didn't wait. "Well, we're going to go to this little, we're going to go up this little tiny building up here and have church tomorrow. Y'all come." No, they done what they could before they ever got up there. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I want to challenge you to be a ministering church. All right? And we're thinking about the three stages of a life of a church. If we don't do that, then our church will die. Our church will die. If there's no outreach, the church will die. All right? Now, we've had a lot of people saved. All right? We've had a lot of people saved. But we better pay attention. We need to have a ministering church. Now, stage one of the church, ministry, stage two of the church. Now, I ain't got no scripture for this one. Okay? Now listen carefully. I ain't got one scripture for this. Because we ain't supposed to have it. Everybody understand? I can't give you no scripture to back this up because we ain't supposed to have it. We're supposed to have the ministering church. Right? But the next stage is a maintaining church. I can't find no scripture for a maintaining church. I can only find scripture for a ministering church. A maintaining church, that's a satisfied church. The only thing I can find there would be condemnation in one of the churches of the Revelation. All right? So a maintaining church is only inward focused. A maintaining church is only concerned with what's going on inside. That's a maintaining church. Keeping the programs running. Well, should we keep the program? Sure. But that's not where the focus should be. All right? The focus shouldn't be just on the programs. The focus ought to be on the outreach. All right? Now, listen to me now carefully. Listen carefully. A maintaining church, I believe we ought to have a budget, a balanced budget, but we can't focus on the budget. We can't focus just on the walls of the church now. All right? Preserving routines and maintaining the building. Now, these things have to be done, yes, but that shouldn't be our focus. Huh? Listen, I've been part of churches and seen churches where what was important was a CD in a bank. That what was important was a savings account in a bank. What was important was all the money that you couldn't spend for the gospel.
Vanity, yeah. All of
yeah. When you got to vote to buy candy for the kids. You know? When you got to vote to buy Christmas candy for the kids that needs a bag of candy, you're probably focusing on the wrong thing, all right?
Everything should be in decent order. Yeah. It's all unity.
Yeah. Now look here. So we think about the inward focus, all right? Yeah. Now, concern more with survival than expansion. Now, anytime we mention about expansion, people get nervous. People get nervous because, well, I don't want to be a part of a big church. Well, can I tell you, you're already part of a big church. Because there ain't but one. And I don't know how many billion are part of it. That's a pretty good sized building. When we all get together, huh? I've had people tell me, well, I just can't be a part of a big church. Why? Is that not, would that not be a successful ministry? A church that don't grow, huh? There's something wrong. We can't be stagnant. Now listen carefully now. A maintaining church, there's no scripture for it. Does it have to be done? Well, that's in the ministry of the church. But the maintaining church, when it's more concerned with the inside, than the outside. And the question for the maintaining church is how do we keep what we have? How do we keep what we have? Now listen to me. We ought to be careful that we don't lose what we have. Yes. We've got to work to keep what we have. Yes. But I'm talking about the focus. Everybody understand me? The focus. The focus is what we're looking at. The main thing. We got to make sure that the main thing stays the main thing. For Christ Jesus come to save sinners. That was the purpose of Christ's coming. For the church was made to spread the gospel. Can I tell you, had these people in Acts not spread the gospel, we would not have the gospel. Had it not went through all of Asia and all of Europe and then got to England and then got us the gospel and got to Spain and you know, Paul went to Spain. You read the scripture, Paul went to Spain. Well, they were Spaniards come over here. They went to South America. They went to Mexico. We had Columbus get over here. They've had the gospel. We've got the people on the Mayflower come from England, come from Europe. All because of what happened here in the book of Acts. Had they not spread it, we wouldn't have it. So that's the maintaining church. I just can't find no scripture for it. Do you understand? But there's another church. Now, the reason I'm saying that these churches is because I've been parts of them. Huh? The maintaining church. Then there's another one, stage three of a church. It's a monument church. The monument church. All right? Where the church house is a monument. All right? Then there's no scripture for it either. Now, the monument church lives on memories. The monument church lives on memories. Are you listening to me? Only memories. Well, I remember when we done this. Now, there's nothing wrong with memories. They're precious. Right? They're precious. There's nothing wrong with memories. But it can't be our focus. It can't be the focus of the church to live on memories instead of mission. Our mission is to present the gospel. Our mission is to see people saved. Huh? The saddest part of my ministry is to watch lost people walk out the door. That's the saddest part of my ministry, is to watch lost people. I watched, as far as I know, six walk out this morning. As far as I know, they were lost. Six of them walked out this morning. That's the saddest part of my ministry. Alright? These were not children. These were adults. Some with silver in their hair. Some way up in years. All right, but they walked out lost without God today. All right, that concerns me. But I can't live on memories. Well, I remember, you know, when tradition, a monument church is when tradition becomes sacred. We've done been there. We've done seen that when tradition is sacred, that when tradition trumps the scripture. That's a monument church. There's no scripture for that. When change is resisted, there's some things can't be changed. You cannot change the Bible. You cannot. The Bible, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's eternal. You cannot change the Bible. And there, if it's not King James, it's not a Bible. So we can't have another version because there ain't no other Bible. All right? Think about that. So I'm a King James only, not a King James preferred. All right? I want everybody to understand that. And we, change is resisted. Well, what kind of change? Well, we I don't know if we want to do that or not. We've never done that before. Yeah. See, I've been in this thing a long time. And I remember the transition from toilets to bathrooms. I remember the transition that you can't do that. All right? I remember the transition from the shelter, having homecomings in a shelter, to the basement. I remember the transition. Huh? We've never done it that way. I remember the transition, you know, from we've never had buses. We've had church here for years. We ain't never had a bus. We used to walk. Yeah. I know. But we used to walk everywhere. All right? Nobody had a car. That's why everybody walked. Nobody could afford a car. But that's a monument church. Are you listening? Are you understanding me? When we are willing to give up spiritual power, huh? Just to exist. We're a monument church. A monument church. Think about that. So, but there's no scripture for it. Just trying to keep the doors open. There's churches today in such sad shape. Jared and Matt and Austin, they've been going preaching. And can I tell you, y'all ought to pray for these guys. And where they've been preaching, you know where they've been preaching? They've been preaching where there's six people, two people, five people. That's where they've been going. They've been traveling for 45 minutes to go to a church that when everybody's there, there's five of them. Think about that. Think about that. Five people, three people. But they're only concerned about keeping the doors open. They're not concerned about change. They're not concerned about they're only concerned about tradition. Everybody understand? Because they don't want a pastor. Are we listening? No, I want to challenge you tonight not to be a maintaining church. Do we have to maintain? Well, that's just good steward. But not focus on being a maintaining church. Should we be thankful for what we have and keep what for a monument to a point? Listen, I don't think there's no better place than here. All right? But we can't worship the place. We can't worship. Huh? Listen, you can't tear out the altar and go hang it on the wall at your house and worship parts of the altar. Huh? You can't do that. You can't tear up the square. If we remove the carpet, you can't get a jigsaw and cut out your square where you got saved and take it home, hang it on the wall, and say, that's my place. There's more to it than that. Huh? It can't be the monument. Huh? It needs to be the ministry of the church. The ministry. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. So tonight, how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord, we ought to be a ministering church. A ministering church. And it's going to take everybody. It's going to take everybody in the church. It's going to take all of us. We'll use tools like youth camp. We'll use tools like the potato festival. We'll use tools like revival meetings. We'll use tools when we used to have the camp meeting, then we're all tools. We'll use tools for the buses. Then we're all tools. Huh? But it's the outreach. That's the ministry. You're never going to beat. Hear me now. You're never going to beat knocking on doors. You'll never beat it. It's always worked. It will always work. It'll never be beat. You can't find a better way than knocking on doors, going after people, telling them about Jesus, and preaching in the public. Huh? Think about that. So tonight, it was just a challenging message. It's best I could give you tonight. All right? At stage one is a ministering church. This is the life of the church. Three stages in the life of the church. Now, these ain't three different churches. These are things that come in a church. It'll start out as a ministering church. Then it'll become a maintaining church. And then it'll become a monumental church. Alright? And then it'll just be a memory. It'll just be a memory. And you'll say, you know, I used to have a church. That's what it'll be. That's what it'll be. Are you hearing me tonight? Three stages in the life of a church. I'm challenging you tonight. Will you accept that challenge? We got tracks coming. We've been running out of tracks and we got tracks coming. And we've got plans for outreach. We got plans to reach Nicholas County. We got plans to reach Summersville. We got plans to reach your people. Huh? Got plans to reach your people. Amen. And everybody else we can find. And I challenge you tonight. Huh? Ask God to help you to have a ministering church. Let's pray. Father, you are wonderful to us. And you give us power. You give us the word. You give us the commission to go. And Lord, if there's ever anything fought any harder, I don't know what it would be. Lord, the enemy would always fight us from trying to share the gospel. Father, I pray for boldness. I pray for courage. I pray for a desire, a burning desire in our heart tonight to reach our people. Lord, you've done everything for us. And Lord, we trust you tonight. Now I ask you to speak into every heart here this evening. And Lord, if there is one here tonight that is unsaved, it's already been prayed. Lord, we ask you the same thing. Stir their heart. And as we get a song now, Father, I pray that you might give us the zeal. Lord, we got to have something on the inside. We can't force it. We can't make it. We got to fall in love with you to tell people about you. Lord, if we could just share what you've done for us, what we was. Oh God, if we could just share with people what we was. We were lost and now we're found. If we could just share that, oh how wonderful, Lord, it would be. So help us tonight, I pray. And we're going to thank you in all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.